Welcome to number 5 in a series of in one long conversation broken up into chapters between Roger Overall and Paul O'Mahony here in Cork in Ireland, and we're on to part 5 of considering Chris Brogan's ideas on how, on everything to do with your platform. And we're into 15 minutes before lunch, so we're now on to a section of the an issue which is called curation, right? And it's about curation, and the title in Chris's email is curation is a bit like syndication. So okay, what on earth does that mean, right? So he starts off the question in his email saying, if you don't yet have a lot to say for yourself, you're beginning on social media, right? You haven't got a lot to say for yourself, or you haven't really got all the confidence to say it. I would actually hold that you always have a lot to say. The only thing you're really missing is the confidence, but that's another issue. You can always, Chris says, curate other people's opinions, right? But this is a very interesting, startling idea. The idea that you could go out and you could actually put up on a platform the best ideas I came across this week, or the most controversial ideas I came across this week. You could actually, and Chris says that some of his favorite online personalities do that. And two of Chris's favorites are Iconic88, Iconic88, that's a Twitter title, right? And Mayhem Studio, MayhemStudios, Studios. Now, I know Mayhem Studios, by the way. I have had a lot of contact with them a long time ago, or them. So they're pro-sharers, says Chris. So Chris's suggestion is that you could, as your way of getting going, or perhaps even on one, Roger, perhaps even since you'll end up likely to be on several platforms, right? Perhaps one of your platforms, what do you think of this idea? Perhaps one of your platforms could be purely curation, right?
Well,
what do you think of that?
Well, you know, surely you know what I think of that, because a platform that is ideal for this, of course, would be the Listly platform, where you are curating content.
That is list.ly. That's the website. It's a hashtag @listly.
So there is a platform that is built on the principle of curating content. Now, the content could be just simply a name, but it could also be, you could curate on there a list of very important or significant or useful, or however you want to phrase it, blog posts about cheese making.
Well, Listly's already full of stuff like that.
Thank you.
We've
been offered coffee again. Does that mean you could come here in the cafe at Blackrock Castle, buy one cup of coffee and sit here all day, and it would be the endless cup of coffee?
Well, you know, you can try that, folks, listening to this. You can come here for yourself and try it out, right? Let us know how you get on.
So you could curate a list of the blog posts that you found most useful surrounding a certain topic. It could be cheese making, it could be painting. So you're curating other people's content, so that it's making it easy for other people to access that content as well.
You're highlighting other people, you're honouring them, you're celebrating them, you're publicising them, you're doing them a favour. Now, my one hint about this is that if you're an unknown person, and you're not known to the person in question, and for example, you decide you've picked somebody who's very successful already and has worked for years building up something, and you suddenly start curating a list saying that everything they do is fantastic, I wouldn't be inclined to tell them. I would let it leak out. I certainly wouldn't be inclined to go saying, me has just decided that I'm going to publicise you. I'm a total, you know, any work, and I'm going to publicise you, because what you're going to come across as is if you're trying to piggyback on the back of their fame. It's about like product placement, isn't it? It is,
but then I think it's either you're doing it with that kind of Machiavellian purpose in mind, in which case you just have not grasped what we've been talking about for the last 2 hours. Or you're doing it from a genuine point of view where you're saying, I have found this useful. I think that other people will find these blog posts useful as well. Therefore, I'm not only honouring the people who've written the blog posts, I'm trying to help out the people who are in a similar situation as I am, and of which I know there must be lots, because I had these questions, and if I have these questions, other people have these questions. So therefore, if I bring together a place where this one question is answered in 10 really authoritative blog posts by these great people in the business, I think that is useful. I think that's a very... I take your point. If you were then to contact the greats who have produced these blog posts and were then to say, oh, I just curated you into this list, yes, they might take the wrong end of the stick. They might think that you are a similar person. You might get the Chris Brogan response. And if you don't know what the Chris Brogan response is, go back to a previous audio view in this series.
Let's shift this out of listing to Twitter for a second.
Yes.
Because we have Twitter functionality. A key thing in Twitter is retweeting.
Retweeting?
No, you can... Retweeting is curation, right? Basically, it's presenting a piece of work that you haven't created yourself. Now, art galleries do it all the time. An artist who is a painter, let's talk about painting for a second. An artist produces a body of work, and they can get a second person to do the curation. So they say to the third person, you pick the elements from my 500 paintings, pick the 20 of them that you want to make an exhibition of. Now that, I mean, this is done all the time when you have a painter who's dead. Mm-hmm. And somebody curates an exhibition of the Van Gogh paintings, right? They choose from their collection, or they pull them from around the world, all the stuff on, you know, all the stuff that uses the color blue, you know, all the Van Gogh blue paintings. And all this. So curation is used all the time in the artistic world, certainly in the painting world. On Twitter, people curate. They probably wouldn't use the term curate, but if I were to, if we were to retweet every day work by other people, it's practicing the art of curation, isn't it?
It is, but with that brings an element of responsibility, because what you're saying is, this is worth, here's a tweet to something that is going to take time out of your day for you to click on this link and follow it. So you have to be careful in your curation. And again, you're coming at it from a point of view of what is useful to somebody else, what is so useful to somebody else that I would actually bother them, insert it into their Twitter feed so that they would go and have a look. Because if you do this frivolously, you're going to lose followers, you're going to lose credibility, and you're going to start annoying people, quite honestly.
There's a handy thing, though, about Twitter, is that if you don't apply somebody's name to a retweet, right? Mm-hmm. So I retweet your stuff, let's say, mm-hmm. but I don't send it to Ken Curtin, right? Mm-hmm. I just put it out there, mm-hmm. right? It'll reach a random audience, right? Mm-hmm. You won't really get in... Well, you won't get in that many people's way, because it'll be lost in the stream. It'll be swept downstream as the Twitter stream goes past.
That's true.
But if you retweet other people's stuff and you direct it to people, now that's a great thing to do, because you have said in your mind, I know you, Roger Overall, are interested in the following things. I have found something on your behalf, and I'm bringing it to you. Very great thing to do for other people. Do that for a whole group of people, and you build a community via retweets on Twitter.
On Twitter, here's the thing, here's a question. Can you retweet only to a list? Is there a functionality on any of the Twitter platforms that allows you to retweet something specifically? Basically, what I'm asking is, can you do on Twitter what you can do on Google+?
I don't think so. In fact, if you can, I'm shocked, and I'm delighted to find out you can do it. You can follow a list on Twitter, right? but you cannot send a message to all the people in that list. No, you can't. No. That's where Google Plus has, you know, you can make a circle. Now, the complication about it is you can put together on Google Plus a circle of all the people you'd like to reach, right? The problem is that unless they put you in their circles, you ain't reaching them.
But then a decision has been made on their part that you are worth listening to because you are providing content and useful information that is relevant to them, so they want to receive it. So in a way, Google Plus provides a mechanism that allows you to gauge how useful you are to others. So in other words, if you've got lots of followers on Google Plus, it may well be, I'm not saying this is the only reason they'll be following you, it may well be because you are actually providing very useful content. Whereas on your blog, you've actually got you can have a subscribers list, and your subscribers list will be an indication of how useful people find your content. The more subscribers you have, so here's the thing. We have strayed upon, I think, something here. There are metrics on social platforms, and we're not talking about followers here, because followers is a vanity metric. You don't really know what's going on with your followers. But there are things that you can do to gauge how useful you are, how helpful you're being to others. One of them is your subscribers. So if you have a blog, here's a hint. It sounds like it's a good idea to have a subscriber option on your blog. And if you're on Google Plus, there is a clear mechanism by which you can gauge how useful you're being to others. Interesting.
Well, I think that's very powerful, actually. Do we think enough, do we make enough use on Twitter of the knowledge that is freely available? Who's subscribing to my tweets? And, you know, there's a good chance that there lies the basis of good community building. You know, these people, now the interesting thing is these people who subscribe to your tweets may do so for completely different reasons. So, for example, the people subscribe to tweets from somebody because they value their tweets about golf. That has very little to do with their tweets about business, let's say. But still, it is actually very handy to be quite clear about how many people are subscribing to you on Twitter. Where are they? And perhaps provide a service to them and find out how you could. Some of the subscriptions may be active, you know, in the sense that, I mean, I have a lot of Twitter lists, Roger, a whole lot of Twitter lists, but there are only a small number of them that I use every single day. I mean, there are actually 3 Twitter lists that I use every day, and only 3. How many Twitter lists you visit every single day without fail?
3 as well.
3. Yeah. There's probably a limit.
Yeah.
How many lists do you have altogether?
About a dozen.
Right. I have about 25. My problem is I can't see them on all the different platforms. You know, Newsweek will only let you see so many lists and everything. And I have lists that I've forgotten I've made, right? In fact, that's very handy sometimes to go back to a list you had 2 years ago, because suddenly something happens and a small community of people that you gathered around an issue 2 years ago, all under, say, the same hashtag or whatever, something may happen out of the blue that makes that, you know, interesting now. Okay, we should move on. Let's go on here to the next part of Chris's. We've talked about curation and the importance of curation, right? So we're now on to the very last part of Chris's email before we get to the miscellaneous, right? Now, Chris asked the question, how often should I post? Now, have you a policy, Roger, on how often you post? And I guess the word post means that publish content. So an Instagram photograph is a post.
Yeah. I have varying policies. On one of my blogs, I post I try to post. My policy is to try and post once a week. One of my podcasts, I try to have a new episode once a month. On another podcast, I try to have an episode every 3 weeks. And on another blog, I try to post a couple of times a week. So it varies. Instagram, I post whenever I feel like it. LinkedIn. No, I have no LinkedIn policy. Twitter, I have no Twitter policy. I kind of tweet randomly. There's no underpinning policy.
Okay, so it might be helpful to you in thinking about what you're doing to think about your policies.
Yeah, absolutely.
That at least raises the issue about in what areas is it helpful to be consistent, and in what areas is it helpful to be anarchic and completely unpredictable.
And your policy can be, I'm going to be anarchic and unpredictable.
Absolutely. That is, totally, you know.
The policy is not necessarily, I will publish a blog post every Tuesday at 10 o'clock religiously. One policy, but you can be anarchic.
And there are also people who are very successful by posting all of their content around one particular theme or content. And there are others who are eclectic, very successful at being eclectic.
Okay, here's a question for you. What should you base your policy or your publication policy on?
Well, I think it all has to come back to the question of your purpose. And that comes back to what really are you, why are you doing this in the first place, you know? And in fact, that's why being clear about why you're doing this stuff in the first place is the most important call of all. And even if you're going to change, and I think you can change it quite reasonably, and you ought, you know, you don't have to stick with one purpose for the rest of your entire life.
Yeah.
But for the next period of your life, what is your purpose? Some people get to my stage in life, let's say, when you're getting older. When you get older, the older you get, the more you can actually get completely committed to a kind of ultimate purpose. Because you haven't got time to have any other purposes, really. You've only got a limited, you're very aware of your own mortality, right? You're aware, I only got so much years to live, right? Why faff around, I might as well go for it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're 25 and you're starting out, you're absolutely very, very unlikely to be actually talking about what I want on my tombstone, right? You're likely to be thinking about, in the next phase of my life, while I'm still living here in Ireland, while I'm still living in Ballincollig in the west of the city of Cork, what's my purpose on all this stuff, right? Now, if I then move to Dublin, I can have a new purpose. And gradually you get to the point where you get to, you begin to see some advantages in being clear about, well, okay, I stand for something, they're my values.
Mm.
Now let me draw purposes out of my values. Liz Strauss in Chicago is very, very good on this. Liz Strauss, I think, coined, or else she borrowed and curated, or wherever she got it from, the phrase, values attract values. So a conversation with Liz Strauss would lead you into an arena in which you become more aware of the importance of values in audience development. Why should you do one thing rather than the other? And the ultimate reason is because I stand for that. That is me. Is that right?
I mean, what I'm noting down here, I've just drawn a triangle in bright orange, or a relationship. Sorry, in bright orange, you can mark them. So you have your values, you have your core values. From your core values flows your purpose. From your purpose flow your policies. Am I right in, have I correctly understood that?
Well, certainly one of the things that flow out of your purpose are your policies, right? There are lots of other things flow out of your purpose, and I don't think it's actually as straightforward, but I do think there is a direct line between values and purpose. Then I think the lines get multitudinous, and I think purpose lies at the core. Well, I don't know. Look, you could draw it whatever way. If you like to draw the diagram with, you know, values above purpose, the other thing sometimes people do is they put values and purpose on the same line in dialogue with each other all the time.
Hmm.
in a kind of dynamic equilibrium, you know? I think you can actually be clueless about your values. It's a very, it's a question that people often find quite tricky. If I say, what are your values, right? And, but if you have it, if you get into it in a conversational way, you can draw what...